Hey there, friends. Welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. And we're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we examine the book of 1 Thessalonians and learn about turning the world upside down. Let's hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back, my friends, to today's episode of Everyday Truth. And particularly excited today because we are starting a brand new book of the Bible. That's always an exciting thing. And then also, I have my dear friend, Scott Souther, with me. Scott has been pastoring for years. We've known each other for years. And Scott, I want to thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. It's good to be here.
Scott's one of those guys in life, and the Lord's been so good to me. I have a number of just dear friends, and Scott's just one of those guys. Every time I'm with him, it's iron sharpens iron. It doesn't take us long to start talking about the things of God and the Bible. And so that's what we're doing today. It's just Scott, it's me and you, and whoever's listening right now, just sharing some thoughts about the Bible.
Right. I love it. It's an opportunity not only to help me, but to help somebody else. And I'm looking forward to this.
One of the things I really can't stand about you, Scott, is you've got that natural like radio announcer voice.
Thank you very much. Yeah. I appreciate that.
Was it years of smoking that produced that? I don't know what that was, but you got that voice.
I don't know what it was, but yeah, that's something somebody has told me before, is I got the face of a radio announcer. So.
Well, I appreciate each one of you joining us day by day. It does mean a lot to me. The book of 1 Thessalonians, we're calling this series of podcasts from this book, Turning the World Upside Down. And there's a good reason we're doing that. And that's because the entire book of 1 Thessalonians really finds its context in Acts chapter 17. And friends, I can't really take a whole lot of time setting up the background to this, but suffice it to say that the Apostle Paul had gone to Thessalonica and his desire was to plant a church there. And he went to the synagogue, as was kind of his modus operandi, and he began to just reason with the people there, especially the Jews, that Jesus is Messiah. The New Testament word for Messiah is Christ. Jesus is Christ. And Scott, I can see him sharing Old Testament prophecies.
Yes, especially like you said, Malachi. We talked about that before, and Isaiah. And we had even talked before, you and I, before the podcast started, about Paul's boldness, but it wasn't a brashness. It was a boldness of having that grounded truth in the Christ and the Messiah. And so when he went to these cities, he was, you know, we would be a little bit timid or wondering, but because of his confidence in God, because he knew his message, I believe that his confidence was found in Christ, and he would go right to those synagogues, would be the very first places he would visit. And so—
And that was part of his stated philosophy. His philosophy was to the Jew first.
Right.
And even though he was an apostle to the Gentiles, he had a special love for his own people. I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, he said. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. So the Apostle Paul just had this burning desire to see people of all stripes come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I love what you said a moment ago, boldness. You know, boldness comes from a confidence in the resources we have. So the Apostle Paul had an academic boldness. He knew why he believed what he believed, but it was more than that. He had an experiential boldness. I know whom I have believed. And so he wasn't ashamed of Jesus.
Yeah. He was grounded so much. Like you said, such a well-rounded individual. And I believe because of that well-roundedness, it's what gave him such a fervency to make sure that the gospel was out there. You know, he talks later on about you know, how he planted, Apollos watered, and then God gives the increase. You know, that whole chapter there is all about Paul wanting to make sure that the consistency of the gospel was given. again, that there was clarity of the gospel. And that's how in that chapter, we can use that later on in the book, but we come back to Thessalonica, we come back to that synagogue, and that's what Paul was after. He was after that time to making sure that there was a consistency layered upon layer upon layer.
No, that's so good. And to come back to our theme, turning the world upside down, what actually happened in Thessalonica was that the Apostle Paul and Silas, because they were preaching the gospel and people were getting saved and coming to a saving knowledge of Christ, it caused the unbelieving Jews in the city to be moved with envy, the Bible says. And they actually hired people to stage a riot. They wanted to physically remove Paul and Silas from town. They trumped up some political charges against them, try to get them sideways with the Roman government. I mean, they were really slick. And the Bible says that they, the enemies, the opponents, said of Paul and Silas, "These are they which have turned the world upside down."
I love that.
Now, they meant it derogatorily, mm-hmm. but what a great backhanded comment. Compliment, I should say. And that is that they truly did turn the world upside down. And that's exactly what the gospel does. It's diametrically opposed philosophically to the world. But boy, when the gospel gets alive in my life and in your life, it causes us to live a life that is in diametric opposition to the life we used to live. So turning the world upside down, I think, is a great title for our series. It's really a missions book. I love the book of 1 Thessalonians because it's the story of a church plant and what happens in the lives of people when God gets involved. The Apostle Paul actually wrote this letter a little bit later on in his journey. He got kicked out of Thessalonica, moved down the road to Berea, eventually landed in Athens, made his way down to Corinth, and it was from Corinth the Apostle Paul wrote this letter. See, he had sent Timothy back to Thessalonica. Hey, how are those people doing, those new Christians? We had to leave town abruptly. How are they doing? And Timothy came back and said, "Paul, they are doing great." Now, they do have some doctrinal questions, and Paul deals with that, particularly about the second coming of Christ. But as far as their walk with the Lord, their growth in grace, they are doing wonderfully well. And so the book of 1 Thessalonians is that letter from a relieved and happy apostle who is saying to people, many of whom he's led to Christ personally, "Wow, in every spiritual sense of the word, I'm proud of you." And so turning the world upside down. Let's cover just a couple of verses in this first time together in the book, and then we'll have to move on to the rest of it tomorrow. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 1. Hey, why don't you read, Scott, verses 1 through 3 for us, if you would.
Sure. "Paul and Silvanus and Timothy unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers." Kirk, why don't you just take a second there and go to verse 2, that last statement, "making mention of you in our prayers."
Well, that's more than, see, we look at a comment like that and say, oh, okay, well, he's just... he's got them on the prayer sheet and he just reads their name off in a list. No, it's much deeper than that. What the Apostle Paul is saying is, we take your spiritual growth seriously. He said to Timothy and to Titus both, he said, every time I go to God in my prayer time. So for Paul, that was morning and night. I make mention of you in my prayer. I call your name out. I think about your ministry. I think about the relationship I have with you, and I take you to the Lord. The Apostle Paul always began his epistles that way. I'm praying for you. And how we have underestimated and I think underemphasized the importance of prayer as it relates to spiritual growth in others. What did Jesus say to Peter in the upper room? He said, "Simon," matter of fact, he said, "Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you disciples, but Peter, I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. The power of praying for others, intercessory prayer. That's what the Apostle Paul is saying here.
Okay, okay. So more than just making a mention of them on a prayer list, it's more of a thoughtful, heartfelt, picturing them and their heartaches and their burdens and taking it to the Lord.
Absolutely. And then really that prayer is predicated on exactly what you just said, a living with an imagining of who they are and what they're going through. Because it says in verse 3, remembering without ceasing. So that making mention in prayer was based upon his remembering of them, he rehearsing in his mind who they are and how they're growing and how they're progressing in their walk with Christ.
See, don't you think that that's what knits a heart together with someone else, just taking the time to muse, the Bible says, or to be thoughtful of, to think on, to meditate on, not just simply sitting down and going through a list after list that was given on a Wednesday night prayer meeting, but literally envisioning what these people are going through, who they are, going through their families, making mention of them specifically. I think sometimes what happens is we get too vague with our prayers and God bless us, God watch over us, God save a nation, save a state, instead of going back and being very specific with our prayer life.
Yeah, and that's a good point. But I think not only, I think on the one ditch, on one side of the road is vagueness, you know, God bless all the missionaries.
Right.
But I think the other side of the ditch when we pray sometimes is we are specific, but we're passionless. So it's almost as if we have to give God all the details, but it's not in any way a part of us. And the Apostle Paul stayed right in the middle, where he said, "I remember without ceasing who you are, what you did, how you behaved, how you grew." In other words, my prayer for you was an outgrowth of my relationship with you.
See, that's great. That's a big point. And I hope those that are listening today just got that, because that helps me. That really, truly does.
So let's unpack that then.
Okay,
so in verse 3, he says, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. But then here's that basis, verse 3, remembering without ceasing. So this is what's fueling that mentioning. This is what's fueling that prayer. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. So here's what's causing us to be so grateful to God for you. Here's why our prayer is primarily a prayer of thanksgiving as we make mention of you, because we see these spiritual foundations in your life. He said, number one, we see that you have a work of faith. So a work of faith. In other words, we see that you're living by faith, but how do I see your faith?
Wow.
I can only see your faith because I can't see your heart any more than Samuel could see the heart of Eliab or see the heart of David. Man doesn't look on the heart. He looks on the outward appearance. So how do I know your faith? I know your faith by your works.
Right, right.
So he was thanking God that they had a work of faith. Sometimes we can have works without faith, but we can't have faith without works. Bona fide faith will always show up.
You know, as you bring that up, I'm thinking about, you know, my wife who's been through cancer, and there's been so many ladies that she has personally helped because of her faith as she went through that terrible, horrible time in her life. And I think that a lot of what you're saying there is that these storms in life, as we go through them, show our faith. And from that is where we are here studying today, is that faith. They learn about faith through us.
The passage that comes to my mind is James chapter 2, where the Bible says, faith without works is dead. Mm-hmm. Show me thy faith without thy works. I will show thee my faith by my works. So it's not that we're saved by faith and works. That would be heretical. But we are saved by a faith that works. What the Apostle Paul said is, I offer prayers of thanksgiving to God for you Thessalonians because you have a faith that's real. How do I know that? I see the work of that faith. I see it evidenced by what you do, by what you say, by the priorities you keep, by the schedule that is yours. I see it in your life. Just like people see that vibrant, real faith in Kay's life, your wife.
Right.
So Paul was seeing that in the lives of the Thessalonian believers. And we're going to see that in our other two the other two foundations here in verse 3, but that's about all the time we have for today. I know we spent a little bit of time on background information today, but I think that's important. I hope you'll tune in all throughout the series, Turning the World Upside Down. That's God's call for me and for you. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.